The text for today that we're going to talk about is our gospel reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And a couple of times here during the season of Lent, we're going to take a look at the Lord's Supper and what it provides to us. And today is one of those days. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." They died. "This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die." Now, before we get into our gospel reading, let's talk about the Old Testament reading today that Paula read earlier. It's the children of Israel come out of Egypt. Okay, they've been in captivity for, 400 years or so. They come out of Egypt. The Lord has delivered them. He takes them through the Red Sea on dry ground. And they've been redeemed and restored. And they're joyful. It's kind of like the epistle reading here today says, their baptism was like when they went through the Red Sea. They've been renewed. They've been given new life, new chance, a new lease on life, as they would say. So they were joyful. Joyful. You say, "Pastor, why are you bringing up this joyful time during Lent?" Well, we'll talk about that. But they were so joyful that Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron, breaks out into song. It was a day of victory. A day of release of the captive. God had shown his strength with his mighty arm. He had given the children of Israel a new lease on life, new beginning as his chosen people. He takes them to Mount Sinai and gives them his instruction, his Torah, his law, Ten Commandments. That's wonderful, right? Does it end there? Does the story end there? No, we know that. The new beginning was spoiled because it didn't take long before people started to grumble. Grumble. I love the way that word sounds. It's what it is, right? Grumble. Did you hear how many times in the Old Testament reading the word grumble appeared? Grumble, grumble, grumble. Do you do that in your life? No. "Honey, what's for dinner?" "Oh, that again." Grumble, grumble, grumble. "And we have food to eat." Well, they grumbled too. They were afraid. They were afraid they weren't going to have any food to eat, much less what they liked. So instead of inquiring of the Lord, instead of trusting in Him to provide for them their daily bread, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, they began to grumble. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Oh man, if only we had died in where it was great. It was great there. Why couldn't we have died there? "We sat by the meat pot and ate bread to the full. For you, Moses and Aaron, have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." I'm starving! And naturally, the people were hungry. They were in a wilderness. It's hard to find food and water in a desert. For a while, they thought they had it better back in Egypt. So how did the Lord respond? Probably not the way you and I would have responded. I remember, this is not fair to my mom, but I'll say it anyway. He complained about dinner. "You'll eat it and you'll like it." Something like that. That's how I would respond, probably. The Lord heard their grumbling, but he was merciful. He was slow to anger. He was abounding in steadfast love. And though he deserved, well, they deserved differently, what did he do? He responded with love. Loving kindness. He says, at twilight you shall have meat to eat. And in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. I'm not just going to give you the food for no reason. It's so that you may know who your God is. Who provides for you. Who gives you your daily bread. And that's exactly what happened. At night, the camp was filled with quail, as much quail as they could eat. And in the morning, this fine frost-like thing, kind of like what we've been seeing lately, appears all over the ground. And they went out and collected it. Just enough for the day. Just enough for one day. Because it would spoil after that. Except on the sixth day, when you can capture twice as much, for the Sabbath day. That was the only time it didn't spoil. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. It's what the Lord has given you. This is, if there's one thing that you take out of Lent this year, take this. The Lord has given it to you. What has the Lord given you? What does that say? Given to you. Bread from heaven. God provided for their physical hunger. He fed his newly redeemed children so that they wouldn't go hungry in the wilderness and die. But it didn't sustain them forever. They still died eventually. We still face that too. The benefits of this manna from heaven didn't last forever. And there was a reason for that. This miraculous feeding was to teach them about the bread of heaven that was yet to come. A sign of God's promise yet to come. As the saying goes, all that happened to the fathers was a sign for the sons. Well, this manna was a sign too. The full significance of which we don't realize until we see Jesus Christ coming to give himself for you and me. So in his gospel, the Apostle John records for us what Jesus himself says about these events. These events in the Old Testament, and here he is today speaking to his disciples then and speaking to you today. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that no one may eat of it, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world, that's for you and me, the bread that I will give for the life of the world, Jesus says, is my flesh. So this miraculous feeding in the wilderness of Sinai, 1446 BC, 1500 years or so before Jesus, points to that event right there, the cross, where his body is broken and given for you. And it points to that right there, his body and blood, which you are going to receive here today. 1,500 years before Christ, and now 2,000 years after that, for you. Jesus came for you. That's what Lent is all about. Knowing what God has done for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is the new and greater manna, the manna from heaven. And He comes not just to satisfy physical hunger, but to satisfy those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For those who say, things aren't right in my life. How's that for a grumble? Things are not working out the way I hoped they would. Things are not working out the way I think they should. And even when I'm blessed by the Lord with a wonderful family, friends who love me, I don't appreciate that. And I grumble. Instead of thanking God for all the blessings I have, I can list all the things that are wrong with my life and all the things that are wrong with the other people in my life. Grumble, grumble, grumble. I'm good at that. Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Not so often. Jesus says, this bread that I'm going to give you, disciples, after He had fed the 5,000, this is when this happened. That bread that you eat today, that lunch that you're going to have today for dinner, you're going to get hungry again. Some people say it's like Chinese food, you know? You eat it now, and a couple hours later, you're hungry again. If you're a growing boy, boy, you know, high school boys, they're hungry all the time. You're going to get hungry again with that food, but the food that Jesus gives you satisfies you to eternal life. What a wonderful thing that you may not die, but have eternal life. So the disciples, sounds pretty good, they say, Sir, Lord, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. And He does. That's God's answer to your prayer. When we pray later on, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, He does. He does. And He gives you the bread that lasts forever too. That's what we're going to partake of today. The bread of life. The bread of life. This isn't something that doesn't last for just a while. It's not something that melts away like the manna in the wilderness. This is holy food. Holy food which offers you eternal salvation. Just as we're going to sing in the communion hymn. Comfort and for pardon, for forgiveness. As you feast on the salutary gift of Christ's body and blood today, know that it is for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, to wipe away all that separates you from God. All that separates you from true righteousness, that's what he gives his body and his blood to you for today. So know that as you journey through this wilderness of life, you don't have to grumble. But even if you do, that grumbling is even forgiven by Christ daily. He sees your daily battle with sin. He sees your daily battle with grumbling. He knows all those things that are wrong in your life. Those things that are wrong with you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. This is the food that aids that with comfort and with pardon. He even knows that we have this propensity to grumble even at good things. There's a part of us that thinks that what God's done for us is not good enough, or it's not enough, or I want more and I want it now. There's a part of us that's sinful and wants to go back to Egypt. It wants to return to that habitual sin that we have, or that problem that we have that we wallow in and can't get out of. There's part of us that just wants to grumble. But our God is merciful. He is slow to anger, and He is abounding in steadfast love. He doesn't want you to grow faint and weary on your journey through the wilderness in this life. So He comes to you weekly in His body and blood, inviting battle-weary sinners to His table where He is both host and meal, till we make it finally to the promised land. Now's not the time to grumble. Now's not the time to long for the days of captivity as Israel once did. Now's not to complain about that God's trying to do you harm. Now is the time to receive His gifts that are given for you in faith. The benefits of the Lord's Supper, Martin Luther said, on this account, it is indeed called the food of souls, which nourishes and strengthens the new man. For by baptism we are first born anew, but as we said before, there remains this old vicious nature of flesh and blood in mankind. There are so many hindrances and temptations of the devil and of the world that we often become weary and faint, and sometimes we also stumble. Therefore, the sacrament is given as a daily pasture and sustenance, that faith may refresh and strengthen itself, so that it will not fall back in such a battle, but become stronger and ever stronger. Dear Christian friends, this is the manna from heaven, the life-giving blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is your spiritual sustenance through the valley, the wilderness of this life. This is the gift of God, a loving and faithful God, for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all